League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, well, well. Look who wasn't late after all.
Never that.
Oh, I don't know about never, because you were already setting the table like you were going to be late. Keenan McCardell,
I just want to see your face.
Covering his face. In living color.
His face is like, oh, no. Panic mode.
No, we totally forgot you were coming in, so there was no panic. Yeah, there was no panic. There was no panic at the disco, son.
Make it special.
So, Keenan McCardell with Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Plenty to get to with you. Let's go first and foremost with what you witnessed and what your thoughts were on the Tom Savage appearance and now starting quarterback of your Houston Texans.
It was a good move. I mean, at the time, you know, Brock wasn't getting it done. I mean, he hadn't been getting it done the last couple games, and the way they want it done, you make the move, you give your team a spark, you know, because if you lose to Jacksonville, it's over, you know. But they came back, found a way to win it, and, you know, he actually played pretty well. I mean, you know, coming in, you know, and completing, he had a very good completion percentage, and you know
he looked poised. I liked his poise in the pocket and the fact that he obviously studied when he was on the sidelines because he knew what to do and where to go.
And the guys rallied around him, too. That's what I like. Seemed like they were looking for that move.
I felt like DeAndre Hopkins' attitude was different. His body language was different. Did you not? I mean, do you disagree? It felt like he had a little swag. He had that old swag where he was pointing for first downs and mad when he dropped a ball and not just running back to the huddle. Like, he looked more into the game.
You know what? It did. I mean, but I won't say that. I mean, just they were down. They needed to. Yeah. They needed to get this win. You know, I mean, you know, if they lost this game to Jacksonville, people would have been like, "Whoa, this is not what we expected." Now, and not, you know, and Jacksonville came in and gave them their best shot. And you know, and
Borders for the most part was a game manager, which is all they needed, and kept them in it to where they were bleeding for most of the way. I mean, they were doing what they had to do. But it's interesting now that they needed that game, but doesn't matter if they win or lose against Cincinnati.
Well, it does.
It does.
It kind of does, but
well,
it doesn't.
So here's the long shot scenario. The Jags, if by some measure of success, are able to beat the Titans. If the Jags, let's say that they're all playing for their jobs, they're
right,
playing for an interim coach, whoever comes in is going to be clearing house, and they're going to be watching this film. If the Jags beat the Titans and the Texans beat the Bengals, then it doesn't matter what happens in Week 17.
No doubt.
The Texans are in.
So this game really matters. I mean, I know you've been saying it doesn't. I mean, every game matters because
everybody said it was such a tough decision to make. It's not as tough as if you were playing Tennessee this week.
I say it matters because here's a team that's not playing great and you want to get them playing better. You want to get your team playing better, get the momentum going into the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, this game really matters to get you rolling for the playoffs.
Well, aside from that, the pressure is enormous on this decision because they know that they have to run the table in order for you to be right.
No doubt.
So they had to make this move now or run the risk of the wrath of Keenan McCardell.
Well, or was it a walkie-talkie that I had like the Giants and had?
Well, is that the call if that was the worst Christmas move gift you ever got? That would be interesting as well.
I might have called for the move way out in Sugarland.
Yeah,
well, could be. I could have told you. I could have answered it and given you the response.
I do like the fact that now he's got, if he's going to be the quarterback, that now, you know, this week, next week, and into the playoffs, if they make it, I like the fact that you're going ahead and doing it now because he can get some game time under his belt. He can work with the first team. He can get a little bit of chemistry going with these guys, and maybe that gives you a better shot.
You know, the best thing about the game in against Jacksonville was that Tom came in and nobody knew what to expect from him. You know, they didn't have any film on him. They didn't know how to prepare for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, this week be a little bit different. Cincinnati has seen some game film on him and prepared. And so we'll see how he plays now, you know, because most defensive, they don't know what a backup quarterback is until he gets there. That's why a lot of the times most backups have a lot of success when they first come in, because they don't know his strengths or weaknesses.
That's interesting.
So now we'll see how Tom plays this week. And you know what? That button to put Brock back in still could be hot. You know, just depends on how Tom plays. I mean, so I'm expecting him to play well, because I know as a player, and you're getting an opportunity to show yourself, to show your worth to this team, and to show yourself to other teams that are looking for quarterbacks, I think he'll play well.
It'll be interesting, too, because the thing that I point, when we were talking about it, Barry and I talked about it the last couple of days, and Trapp talked about it Monday, but the thing that I liked the most about all of this was his poise. The fact that he stepped up in the pocket, he knew his progressions, he knew his reads, he didn't stare down receivers, and he knew if nothing was there, he knew when it was time with the mental clock to throw it away. So yes, there were a couple that could have been picks, it could have turned out a different way, but for the most part, it wasn't happy feet, it wasn't the floater and the sailor where Brock drops the elbow, goes sidearm, gets the happy feet because the pocket's collapsing. He showed a ton of poise and a lot of knowledge for a guy that has never really played in the NFL before. And I think all those things are exactly what they needed at the right time. So I like the move. I thought that this would be different, though. The only reason I brought it up with you was if this was Tennessee this week, I think Bill O'Brien thinks long and hard about sticking with Brock.
No.
Really? Okay.
He plays, Tom, and let's go at it. You know, I think, you know,
So you're ready to just say, we're riding him out for the rest of the year.
If you make this move like you made it, uh-huh. You ride him out.
Okay.
That's my thing. But I know that button, just being on the coaching side, yep. I know that button is still hot to put Brock back in.
You reserve the right.
You reserve the right to put your starting
quarterback
in. So
do you agree, too, that if you would have done this, the reverse, Brock starts this week, now he's looking over his shoulder and he's afraid to even make one mistake, so he's playing tentative, whereas you put the young kid in and if it doesn't go well, you can push that button and make that change and the kid goes, yeah, I'm learning.
And guess what? Tom has nothing to lose.
Right.
He can wing it, you know. So if I'm him, I'm going out, and this should relax me and let me play the best game of my career.
Okay. One thing I want to ask you before we get off that topic of just that game itself, but a team you're very familiar with, that Gus Bradley situation, and we all said he was done at the end of the year, but you talk about the worst way to handle it, just the fact that you knew a day before that you were going to do it, then you held off till after the game to do it, and then you put him on the plane, which I liken to a bad receiving line at a wedding must have been. He's on the plane with his now ex-team, and the word gets out. And by the way, Luke Kuechly and those guys, or not Luke Kuechly, Paul Posnanski said they found out on social media on the buses going to the plane, and then they know he's going to be on the plane for the next 2.5 hours doing kind of like a swan song. That's just awful.
It's really awful. I mean, I don't think, you know what, you could have waited before it all got out. You could have waited and got him off the plane when you got to Jacksonville, and you know, take the ride back to the stadium.
Don't Lane Kiffin him, but do it after the flight.
I mean, just do it after the flight, you know. And you know, that was a tough one because they actually played a really good football game for Gus. I mean, they came in, nobody was expecting to play the way they played. Coming in here, and they played their butts off. And you know what? I was there last week. I was there in Jacksonville last week, and last week wasn't a great game. This week was a lot better game for this team. They competed a lot more than what I saw last week. And to say, you know, you had two games left. I mean, you might as well let him ride it out.
What about the guys that
finish.
Had a problem with him riding back on the plane? I would think most players, especially if they were – you know, his guys, or, you know, they knew he was in their corner, would have said, hey, it's a tough deal. It's tough for him to put him through that. But there were players that seemed ticked off that they had to deal with him on the plane.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's why I said it was a bad situation by letting it get out. I mean, letting it leak. I just couldn't believe it leaked before they even got to the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a bad deal. I mean, and, you know, my old organization, you know, I hope they learned a lesson about letting stuff get out before it's supposed to. And, you You know, you got a lot of people that have friends in the media that will go
snitch.
Out and snitch and yep. say, "Hey, this is what's about to happen," and it shouldn't happen that way.
Yeah, you know, Jalen Ramsey played a hell of a game.
Yep.
Does he get enough credit? Are the eyes on him that should be on him? Because watching him,
he's a big time player. Yeah. I mean, he steps up to the challenge of anybody's number one receiver. He wants the challenge. He has that mentality that, you know, you can't beat me. I think he's getting a lot of eyes. It would be a lot more eyes if they were winning.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest with you, he could be considered as one of the defensive rookies of the year. Wow. I mean, because he's playing lights out back there. If yep. you look at him, but he'll probably never get it just because of the team he's on.
Right.
But the future is bright for this kid. I mean,
and the immortal words of in Coming to America, the boy good. He's good.
He
I
did.
Mean, he is.
He is really good.
Boy, he is talented. I'm telling you what, like you said, you want to talk, he'll talk. You want to back it up, he'll back it up. And he is athletic. He makes plays. They got, you know, and again, the Jacksonville team has got more talent on defense than offense. But as I said to Trapp, they're not leaving the cupboard bare. Aside from the quarterback position, the skill position players in Jacksonville are pretty solid, too.
No doubt. I mean, I think the line, the offensive line is hurting. And you know, as some people may think they can fix Blake. Yeah. I don't know, but you know, that's their choice.
Well, you better have a pretty big toolbox. That's all I'm saying. All right, we still got to get Keenan's worst Christmas gift of all time and plenty more to get to between now and the end of the show. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Keenan McCardell, Nick Sciarra behind the glass as we hit it up till 4, trying to go kind of rapid fire to get the expert opinion of one Keenan McCardell. I'll go next with the next on the topical list of someone that just got out of coaching college football. Your thoughts on Leonard Fournette and McCaffrey skipping bowl games to prepare for the NFL draft?
You know what? I think you should play your last game if that's going to be your last game. But if you're hurt and you know you're coming out, you got to get healthy so you can prepare for the draft. You know, and I don't think Christian McCaffrey's hurt, but I mean, I don't even know if Leonard Fournette's hurt either.
He's been dinged up all year.
But he's been dinged up more than Christian. So, you know, I would feel that, you know, you should play.
I agree with you, but my question then becomes, is it different? Is this even an issue if these teams are playing in the Final Four?
No, it's not. I mean, they both would play. But as a player, you know how to play and come out. You know how to come out.
But Exhibit A on the flip side is the Jalen Smith, the linebacker
from Notre Dame. He
decided
got hurt.
To play, was going to be a top 10 pick, and blew everything in his knee.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that these kids are, you know, are looking at too. They're looking at that situation, and you know what? You know, if you know that you're coming out, I mean, does this game really matter? No, it doesn't. I mean, but no. The only thing that it matters to the pro scouts is why are you not playing?
Yeah, like
you got to be honest with the pro scouts.
Judging your dedication.
Yeah, you got
Kelvin Cato.
You got to be honest with the pro scouts and say, well, I just decided not to play because I wanted to prepare for the draft and not be injured.
Yeah, I don't want to risk injury. I don't want to, you know, if I go out there and tweak a hammy or something, then I can't run. Yep. I can't do my 40 times. Plus that, I mean, I know these guys know how to get down and avoid injury, but there's non-contact injuries all the time where guys blow out their knee just making a cut. So that would scare me. Well, you got millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line, especially those two guys.
But you better.
One guy tweeted the fact that he got hurt during the combine. And that can get you too. So you,
but that's
really,
fine.
You bet on you. You are, to be honest with you, I always bet on myself, and I don't think about it that way. I always bet on myself that I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna be healthy. I'm gonna do the right thing. Yeah. That I'm gonna come through it healthy.
I've heard the argument, which I tend to agree with, made by several people in sports talk radio here and nationally. That, well, what's the difference than when coaches leave? You know, because you hear the coaches say, "Well, you should play your last game," and I think it's valid to say, "Well, you can't hold the players to, hey, you need to play. You committed to this team." Yeah, well, coach,
You just got a new job. You
thanks
left.
A lot, Tom yeah. Herman.
That's
you know,
another big guy.
Thanks a lot, Tom yeah. Herman, but you're not here for the bowl game. You know what I mean? So turnabout is fair play, and if there's no rules like that holding you to completing the season, then why should it be for the players as well? And I wouldn't make that argument because I'm of the opinion that I don't care. If you don't want to play in your last game because you want to be healthy to go potentially make millions of dollars, that's your business. That's fine. You're not contractually obligated. And the same thing with coaches if they want to leave. But it's a valid argument that these coaches can't be expecting the players' loyalty when they don't offer none themselves.
Because as soon as they get the job, they're going
absolutely
to the next
absolutely spot. Without question. And they're not going to send you even a see you later, miss you,
yeah.
thank you note, any of that.
And why do they leave? Money. So why do they sit out? Money. I don't have a problem with it.
And then again, you get the argument again from the people that are going to say, well, they're getting paid in college because they're getting an education. Okay. It can go back and forth. The one I do want to get to is, you ever blown a 2.17 or a 0.217? Michael Floyd just got the on his DUI, 0.217.
It's like he wasn't even trying. I mean, that's it.
And the Pats, by the way, were aware of it and still signed him. Not surprising.
Not surprising. I mean, they're gonna get the best out of this situation.
It's a steal for them if it turns out.
If it turns out, they're gonna get the best out of the situation, and then you know maybe we can turn him around. Maybe we can change him. I mean, that's just how he thinks his locker room is. That he has enough leaders in that locker room that can get to him and say, "Hey, this is not what we do here."
Another team that you played for, the Skins, went from one of America's darlings and a team that looked like they were in to a team that looked so bad that they are going to have their work cut out for them to try and get in. Looks like they're out.
They had everything working for them. Monday night, they just looked bad. It's probably the worst outing that they've had in a while because they've been playing very well. Cam and the Carolina offense is, they're so up and down.
They are. Stewart ran the ball, which gave him balance.
That's what gave him balance. That's what helped Cam out was that Jonathan Stewart was running the football. But, I mean, their passing game, is like, it's like, find me. I mean, 1 minute, Ted Ginn will catch it. 1 minute, he'll drop it.
Oh, he dropped that easy one.
Yeah, then he caught the one down. I can't believe the Washington Redskins fumbled the ball basically at home against these guys because they were ripe to be beat. They weren't playing for anything. Carolina wasn't playing for anything, and you were playing for everything. So,
yeah.
How do you fumble the ball there?
You know, the one thing that drives me nuts about Cam is if you watch that game, how he was at the end of the game, how he's running around pointing and laughing and hot-dogging and showing off. And it's like, you know, you can't do that if you pout like you pout when you lose. That pisses me off because it's like you can't – like you get really pouty when you lose. And you let it come out in those press conferences, but now you're out here laughing and – man, stop. Just stop. Just be even killed. That's all people want. Just...
Not really. I mean, he plays with a lot of emotion. And, I enjoyed him being, you know, having fun with his teammates. But but me, on the other hand, I want him to be more of a professional. And you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody is going to lose some games. Everybody's a not great losers. Everybody hates to lose.
They're better believe front runners.
Believe me. And you just got to be able to handle it like a professional. Go in there and say what's on your mind, all right? Drop the mic and walk out. Yep. That's all you got to do. Say what's on your mind, answer the questions, and get out of there. I mean, and then you can, and then nobody won't criticize you for when you like you just did for when he's out there jumping, high fiving, and doing all that.
You don't have to go into great detail. Just give him one sentence answers, but you participate.
All I'm asking, just be professional.
Look at Bill Belichick. Yes.
Just be professional.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to such and such.
Right.
And
exactly. But Cam doesn't handle himself that way. And that's all I'm saying is just be professional. That way, when you are out there jumping around.
All right. And on that same note, fair or unfair, the slide, the hit, the fact that he got penalized because he threw the ball at the guy. But should that have been a penalty, helmet to helmet, when he slid?
Yes. It should have been helmet to helmet. And I know that they couldn't have seen that because how fast it was going. But as you slow it, when they slow it down, you see it. I mean, you got to be able to see this and see if it's targeting. Maybe the rule, like what's in college, needs to be in the pros about targeting. Not that you kick them out right away, but like on the second one, I would think. But that hit to Cam, and this is a reason why he reacted. And I knew exactly when he threw it right away, I knew why he reacted.
Sure.
Because the guy came over the top of him. He didn't hit him. He hit him with his helmet, you know, helmet to helmet. So I wasn't mad at Cam.
Because then they say, well, it goes back to the fact that he whined so much that he is not going to get that call. I agree with you more. It was the speed of the play. It was hard to tell. But then you get Cousins that goes down the sideline, and I thought it was a BS call. He was barely on the sideline and wasn't out of bounds yet and got hit. And they flagged that for a late hit protecting Cousins, and it goes to the whole point he's been making all year, which is they just don't protect Cam because he is just a freak of nature in terms of finding a guy at that size and athleticism to do what he does.
I will give you $1 million if they'd have called that flag on Cam. If that was if that was Cam running down the sideline, that when Cousins got hit, he would have never got that call.
That's what I was going towards.
Yeah. Part of, though, I think the NFL came out and made a point. He had given himself up as protected when he started running. So, yeah, that's what they were saying.
Cam or Cousins.
That was the NFL. Don't
blame
me. He's
out of the pocket. I understand that, but
running.
He's still
slid. He's a runner in the field. He's not in the backfield. So
now, when he slides.
I said he slid.
I'm just telling you, yeah, I need to find the exact quote.
Feet first. He didn't dive. He didn't slide. He didn't dive head first. He slid.
Yep.
He's giving himself up. So if he's giving himself up, why do you even touch him?
All right, worst Christmas gift ever.
Worst Christmas gift ever.
You can't beat what we've gotten from people that have chimed in.
Mine is easy. I mean, it was just a sweater. I mean, it was a.
Was it a dickie or a sweater? Because I got a dickie.
No, it was a sweater.
Okay.
And it was rather ugly.
Okay. And those are very fashionably in right now.
I know, and if I had that sweater, that when
probably
I got
still
it,
fits.
No. It was probably when I was, I think it was 12. It was a very ugly sweater.
Done with Christmas shopping?
No.
Still got more to get.
Good luck.
Yes, I gotta jump out in here in this traffic and see what happens. Ugh. I was coming from Christmas shopping. So I mean, I got to get back out there and do some things. I got a couple things. So for the wife. And for my son.
Hey, I found, real quick, I said I would. I found the list of alternates from the Texans for the Pro Bowl. Dwayne Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller, Whitney Merciless.
DeAndre Hopkins is alternate?
That surprised me the most of all of them.
Yep. Were named as alternates.
Merciless, I thought, could have warranted.
Merciless should have got
starter.
In. He should have got in before Clowney.
Yep.
Even though they play different positions. I mean, they play earlier. Different positions.
Yep. Well, on behalf of Barry and myself...
Not hating on
Merry Christmas,
Jadavian.
Happy holidays.
Hater!
You
never
know,
that.
I love you. You're a great friend, but what you do here is very valuable, and we appreciate it. So Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Same to you guys.
Appreciate that. Keenan McCardell, Nick Sherrara behind the glass. For Barry, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow, ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.